I was telling Brother Norm Wells. He said he was going to join us for a Bible study, and then something came up where he couldn't. And I told him, I'm thankful that you didn't. And he goes, why? I said, because I would have bragged. I was all excited about bringing the Bible study. It'd been my first one since I got out of the hospital. I was excited about it. I couldn't wait to do it. I got in there, and boom! Lord gave me liberty. I laid it all out on the table. I was pretty proud of myself for that. And I realized afterwards, when Norm wasn't there, if he'd have been there, I'd have been bragging to him about it. Now you think to yourselves that that's not that big a deal, but folks, it doesn't matter what we brag about. It doesn't matter. Whatever pride, self-righteousness we can think of in our own selves, that is against the Lord. That is a sin against God. It's what I do. And if I didn't do it, then I wouldn't need a Savior. Amen. So I'm thankful that I need a Savior. I'm thankful that I am reminded that I need the Lord to be my Savior. I pray this morning. I pray that the Lord will have a message for us today. Our text will be in the book of Matthew. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the 9th chapter of Matthew. The title for today's message is Grace for the Guilty. My question for you this morning is, have you been made guilty? Has God come to you in your self-righteous, loving yourself, prideful flesh, and made you guilty? Before I join you in Matthew chapter 10, allow me to read from Psalms 34:18. It says, the Lord is nigh unto them. Let me repeat that. The Lord is nigh, near, close to, unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth. Not only is He close to, not only is He right next to, He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. Are you with me in Matthew chapter 9? Let's look at verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees, when those who were religious of that time, when those who were supposed to lead the people to a Savior, when those who were supposed to tell the people about the Christ, the righteous one, but instead told the people, oh, what good people you are. Look at what you've done. You've been doing this. You show up for church on Sunday. You help the poor. You do all this. You've made a decision for Jesus. Oh, how wonderful you are. Instead of telling them who Jesus Christ is, they talk about themselves. These very ones, these Pharisees, saw, and they said to his disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, or in other words, that he knew what they were saying, he said unto these religious people, these religious leaders, these Pharisees, they that be whole. Now listen to this, folks. We're talking about grace for the guilty. Grace for those who have had a broken heart and a contrite spirit. They that be whole, says the Lord Jesus Christ, they that are well need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what this means. People that are well, they don't need a doctor. Sick people don't go to the doctor. Kathy and I were both sick with the COVID, and we had been sick for a little over a week. It hit me on a Wednesday, and the following Saturday, Kathy finally convinced me to get up off of what I thought I was dying in and go to the hospital. Probably would have been smarter if I'd have gone a couple days sooner. May not have been as bad, maybe. I don't know. All I know is that from Wednesday to Saturday, I was on my deathbed. I didn't go to see a doctor until I thought I needed one for sure. Ain't that true of you? You go to a doctor just to say, hey, what's going on, doc? Am I doing okay? Yeah, we do once in a while, don't we? We have our checkups. But for the most part, we don't go unless we're sick, do we? He says, after that, I will have mercy, not sacrifice, for I am not... Listen to what the Lord is saying here, for I am not come to call the righteous, those who are moral, those who are good, those who have no need of the good to repentance, but I have come to call sinners to repentance. Now I want you to consider something for just a moment, if you would. When does a person first take their first step towards the Lord? When does a man take his first step towards eternal life and towards heaven? Is it when he begins to have an interest in religion? Or is it when he begins to believe the Bible or thinks he's believing the Bible? Is it when he begins to have an interest in a religion? Or is it when he attends church, maybe? Or maybe it's when he accepts Jesus Christ into his heart, as the world says in today's world. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's none of those. Not one single one of those answers is correct. A man takes his first step towards salvation, and a man moves towards a saving interest in Jesus Christ when that man or woman understands that they are a sinner and they need a Savior. Well, John, I was looking for a church when I came here. I was looking to find God when I came to rescue. No, you weren't. Not the true and living God. Had you heard about the true and living God anywhere else in the world? Or did you hear about a Jesus who wanted you to help him out? Now, I'm not trying to say rescue is the only place that that's taught. We know that there's folks over in Marysville, up in the Dalles, Oregon, down in San Diego, and many other places, some that I don't even know about, that teach the true and living God. Most, they just want to teach about some Jesus who's there to help you if you'll just get up and do something to let him help you. Does not come to the Lord Jesus Christ until they have been brought to the knowledge that they need a Savior. And that's what our Lord is saying here. That's what he's saying back there in his words. I will have mercy, not sacrifice, for I am not to call the righteous to repentance, but I have come to call sinners to repentance. When one realizes that they have sinned against God, and they desperately need a Savior, that's when the Lord has done a work in their hearts. That's what Christ is saying. Sick people need doctors. People who are well, they don't need a doctor. A person that is sick needs a physician, therefore he goes to the physician. When does a person move toward the physician? He moves towards that physician when they find out they're sick. And that's when they start looking through the yellow pages to find one. Let me give you an illustration of that, shall I? In God's Word, our Lord Jesus Christ came down from a mountain at one time in his ministry, and there were multitudes of people around about him. Multitudes. And when he came down from the mountain, the scripture says, a leper. One. There were many lepers in the day of Naaman. It says in scripture, he saved one. There were multitudes of people about, and when he came down from the mountain, the scripture says a leper, a person that was had a dreaded disease, one who was sick, ran to meet him. This man who had leprosy fell down at the feet of Jesus, and he worshipped him and said unto him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Christ the Lord put his hand on that leper and said, I will, be thou clean. And from that moment on, from the very moment the power of God was spoken through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, he was whole. Now, let me give you another one. Here's another illustration. Our master walked down the street among a multitude of people. Once again, people all around him. So many so that they were brushing up against him. You couldn't tell. The other day I saw something on TV. I can't remember what it was now, but there was thousands. I didn't notice they weren't wearing masks. Thousands of people crowded around, just bunch of. How are you going to know who's touching you? There were people pushing and shoving. Yet a woman who had been sick. Did you hear the words? She had been sick for 12 years with an issue of blood. She came behind him and she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And she said to herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be whole. For 12 years she had been sick, and for 12 years she had tried every kind of healing. Does this not describe what we're going through with this virus? Folks, I don't know about you, but I've had every kind of concoction that people think that they could put together. John, take this, this will make you feel better. John, take that. I've had people stop by with little jars of brown stuff and say, if you take this, it'll get rid of everything. No problem. Or if you take this horse stuff over here, that'll help you. This is what this lady was doing. She had followed all the advice of her friends. She had given all of her money to the doctors to try to heal herself. Yet nothing gave her any relief. She was still no better, but she only grew worse. And when she reached out and touched Christ, the scripture says she was made whole immediately. Did you notice that when God does something, he does it perfectly, immediately? We're not saved in progression, folks. We don't get any better because there's no better in this flesh that you see before you. My perfection is in my Savior. And if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, your perfection is in him. Your decision would drag you somewhere else out into the world. I'm thankful that it wasn't my decision. I'm thankful the Lord didn't lead me to my decision. Because for 40 years, I walked this earth making my own decision. And it was against God. But by his mercy and his grace, grace to one who needed to be healed, grace to a sinner, he brought me under the word of his preaching and I heard the word of truth for the first time. Oh, what it is to know that you need a physician. Let me give you one more. One other illustration, then I'm going to ask you a question. Just like the leper, when our Lord came down from a mountain, the leper ran, he fell down at the feet of Jesus and he worshipped him. And the leper said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And just like the woman with the issue of blood who had been sick, she said, if I can just get to the hem and touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Our Lord was walking through a city one day in Jericho. And there was a great multitude once again round about him. Our Lord drew all kinds of crowds. Everybody wanted to see the miracles. Everybody was looking for a sign of who the Messiah was. And there was a man who was blind. He was the son of Timaeus. His name was Bartimaeus. He was on the wayside of the path that the Lord was coming down, and he heard all the jumble and rustling and all the stuff. People are coming left. He couldn't see anything, but he could hear it. He could hear who it was. What's going on? What's happening? Lord Jesus is coming. What? The one who's saving people? The one who's healing the sick? The one whom I need? Is coming down the road? Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Isn't that what the scripture says he said? And then the Lord stood still. God Almighty came to a stop. He stood still. Who's that? I know who that is. He's calling me. The Lord already knew that blind Bartimaeus was there. He already knew that this was all going to happen. He knew it was going to happen before a star ever twinkled in the sky. He's God. He knows everything. Yet our Lord was going to prove to a bunch of people that I have the power. Our Lord has the power to heal. He stood still and commanded him to come. And Bartimaeus rose and threw away his blanket, and he ran towards the voice of the master who called him. And then the Lord said this, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man said, "Lord, that I may see." And the Lord Jesus touched him, and he was made whole. So here's the question for you. The leper, the woman, and the issue of blood, and Bartimaeus, what do all these people have in common? What do they have in common? What is the one vital and central thing that all three of these folks had in common? Now, a person may say that they all had heard of Jesus, and they heard of his power to heal, and his power to give sight to the blind, and to make the lame walk. And that's a good point, because no doubt you have to hear the word of God to be saved. How are you going to call on the true and living God if all you've ever heard about is a Jesus who wants something? How are you going to call on the one who doesn't want anything, but takes what he wants, takes what he desires, including those who he has loved from before the world began? Sovereign ruler over everything, including our hearts, our souls, our minds, every speckle of dust. Everything belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you going to call on him? How did Barnabas call on him? How did the lady with the issue of blood call on him? How did the leper call upon the Lord? Someone else might say that they all had one thing in common. They all came to Christ. They all came to him, didn't they? They all got up and came to him. The blind man, though he couldn't see, he could hear the voice. He came to the Lord Jesus. That's absolutely correct. You'd be right in saying that. But there was something else before that, wasn't there? Someone else may say that they recognized his power to heal. The woman said this, didn't she? She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I might be made whole." So she did recognize that he was Christ, that he was the Christ. She did recognize that he was God. He had a power of some kind that she had never seen. So did the blind man. Why else would he have cried out if he had never heard of who the true and living God is? So, to be able to say that, you would also be true, but they all recognize his sovereignty and power over all diseases and all afflictions. Someone else might say that they believed on him to to each of them, Christ saith that he said to each one of those three, he says, thy faith, thy belief hath made thee whole. So again, true. They did believe. But back of all of this, back of the very first point, the very first thing that is necessary, what did they all have in common? What was the most important factor in every case? And that was the one thing that they all had in common, the one great thing that led each of these people to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, was that they had a need. I need a Savior because I'm a sinner. I need a physician because I'm sick. I need a healer because I can't walk. They had a need. Do you see what I'm saying? That it's what brought the leper to Christ, his leprosy. That is what brought the woman to Christ, was her sickness. That is what Bartimaeus was brought to cry out, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Have you been brought, not just once, not just one time and I'm saved and that's it, I'm done, I can go about doing whatever I want to do. No, God brings us every day to the feet of Jesus to cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. When you go in for dinner, how often do you go in just because there's food sitting on the table? Do we not go in for dinner because we're hungry? Some of us more than others. What brings us to the table of food? Hunger. What brings a man to a well? Thirst. What brings men to a doctor? Sickness. There are some of you going to the doctor maybe tomorrow. I know I am. Why? Because I was sick. What brings you to a doctor? Your illness brings you to the doctor. What brings a man to Christ? Sin brings men to Christ. To know that you are a sinner. The reason people cry out for mercy is because they need mercy from the Lord. It says in Luke verse 9:11, he healed all that needed healing. In Luke 19:10, we read these words, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Imagine that. Somebody comes walking up to you in the middle of a store and says, a friend, we've been looking all over for you. Man, you've been lost. No, I'm not. I'm in Safeway. I know exactly where I am. Now, if they came up to you when you were out in the woods and you'd been wandering around like a little child who had been told by his parents, don't go out into the woods. Don't go out into the woods out there. You're going to get lost. And the little boy decides, I'm going to go hunt and bring home some dinner for mama, make her real happy. And he goes out and all of a sudden he realizes, how do I get back home? And his parents find him and they say, oh, Daddy, I was lost. I couldn't figure out how to get home. How can you be found if you're not lost? How can you see if you've never known that you were blind? Our Lord says in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying. In other words, it's sure, it's true, and is worthy of acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to do what? Save sinners. Amen. He came into the world to save sinners, and then Paul says this, of whom I am chief. I don't know about you folks, but I can say that about myself. Pastor Gene said that the other day. He quoted this scripture and he says, this is the only religion in the world where everybody in it is a chief. The chief of sinners. You're not going to get any better. If you're thinking to yourself, I'm going to get more holy as I go along, you're going to be sadly, treacherously mistaken. Our only holiness is in our Savior. Faithful is He. Great is His faithfulness to His people. He says, they will be my people and I will be their God. No ifs, no ands, no buts. No empty seats in heaven. Every seat that Christ went to the cross for and laid down His life for shall be filled. That's how the Lord, that's why the Lord says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Not maybe, not might, but shall. Pay attention to the shalls in Scripture. It'll blow your mind. I know that there's a lot of people seeking after maybe better financial position or maybe a bigger home, benefits or blessings from going to church. You know, I can be just be a better person. Everything's just going to be so much better for me. If I could just go to church on Sunday mornings and follow after that Jesus that fits my desires. Follow after that Jesus. You know, I don't even have to worry about it because the guy up in the pulpit, he ain't going to talk about Jesus anyway. He might mention His name. Where do we do this in the power and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's about all they're going to say. I was talking with a man. Do you mind if I share with him a conversation we had in your car on the way home? I hadn't had a chance to ask you that, so I apologize. No. I was talking with our brother. You all know I was in the hospital for 4 days. I was sick for, 3 weeks? Couldn't preach. We shut the church down. And so our brother James went to his daughter's church, the Doxa Church down there, that really big old huge one. And he said, man, the guy just, he preached a good message. You know, it was all about, now correct me if I'm wrong, it was all about something about how we could do a better job of inviting people to church, that kind of thing, wasn't it? Yeah. But what I remember in the conversation most of all was, he's taking me home from the hospital. And I remember about the conversation most of it was this. I said, so he didn't talk to you about what Jesus did? All he did was talk to you about what men could do? And James driving his... Yeah, you're right. You see, folks, it's not what people say in the pulpits, it's what they don't say. The religions of the world don't want to tell you about a God who rules over everything. They want to tell you about a God who's waiting for you to do something. They want to raise you up and make you feel better about yourselves. Oh, the God of Scriptures tells you you're a worm. Tells you you're a dog. A woman came to and she said, but Lord, if I could just but get a little crumb. If I could just get a little crumb from your table, even a dog deserves a crumb, right? You say, well, John, that's just, you're all full of sadness. Oh, everybody wants to look down on you. Folks, it's all about grace. The good thing. We deserve damnation, and our Lord took it for us. By His grace, we are saved. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy as can be. Am I a dog? That's it. Yes, I am. I'm a dog, but I'm God's dog. Are you? Amen. We're talking about grace. I can't believe I have to do this. We're talking about grace for the guilty. Those who are guilty of their sins. Those who need grace. We're talking about the difference between a poor beggar who's sitting afar off and he's pounding on his chest, Lord, have mercy on me. The difference between the beggar and the self-righteous person who stands before says, I'm glad I'm not like him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you've given me, and I'm not destitute like him. The one who stood before God and bragged on what he was, took that to hell with him. And the one who stood over, kneeled down, pounded on his chest, said, Lord, have mercy on me, is now in heaven with the Lord. I ask you this today, where are the publicans in today's world? Where are the thieves that cry out, O Lord, remember me when thou comest into your kingdom? We know that our Lord said to that thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Where are the Canaanites who come to Christ and say, Lord, help me, have mercy upon me? Where are those who cry, sirs, we would see Jesus? Not a Jesus, but the Jesus, according to Scriptures. I'll tell you where they are. They're not there in those churches. They're not here because they have no need. I'm not that bad of a person. I'm okay. I've never killed anybody. You know that a man who goes out and plows a field doesn't do anything else wrong. He just goes out and he plows the field out there, walking behind the horses or cows, whatever he's got. He goes out and he plows that field. If he doesn't know the Lord, everything he's doing is in sin, because he's not giving God all the glory. And you and I don't either. The gospel is good news to the guilty. Grace is for the guilty. Mercy is for the miserable. Christ died for the ungodly, is what Scripture says. Oh, we have heard of Jesus by the hearing of the ear. Did you know that Job said the same thing? Listen to the words of Job. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I ask you, have you heard with the ears of the heart? Has God given you ears to hear of the heart? We may attend our church services, our religious services, and some of us attend pretty faithfully, pretty regularly. Some people even talk about his power to heal the body, his power to help them with their troubles. I have a friend that I play golf with. Oh yeah, I know the Lord's in control of everything. He takes good care of me. Everything I have is of him. He says that. He says that. He says that very thing. But he doesn't worship the Lord at all. He has no desire to go to God's Word and hear about the Lord. I've heard him say, I'm not as bad as that guy. I'm not as bad as that guy over there in the corner begging for mercy. There's one thing, and I want you to hear this. There's one thing. There's one thing that keeps the average religionist from genuine repentance towards God. Our Lord said these words, except ye repent, ye will perish. That's the Word of God. There's one thing that keeps the average religionist from the true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And our Lord says it, and it says this in his words, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That means if the Son of God doesn't dwell in your heart, you don't have life. He that believeth not on the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. One thing keeps the average religionist from repentance, and that one thing keeps him from the heart of love for Jesus Christ. He may be devoted to his denomination. He may be devoted to a creed. But one thing keeps him from a heart of love for Jesus Christ, which affects all he does, all that he says, and all that he might think. There is one thing that keeps a man from the heart of love of Jesus Christ and from the vital living union with Christ, even though that they may be joined to a church, joined to a denomination, joined to a program, or maybe even have a moral principle. There's only one thing that keeps him from being joined to Christ, and that is that he has never seen himself as a sinner. Have you? Not just have you, but do you? I was talking with Brother Kevin in text this morning, and he said, "I'm praying for you," and we were both struggling last night did I already tell you this? I think I said it in Bible study. I'm going to say it again. And we were talking about that. The struggle that it is to put together a message. I never knew how hard it was to think about what am I going to preach to the dear folks tomorrow morning until the Lord put me in a position where I have to do it. So I'm going to assume that most of you probably don't either. You know how often we read through scriptures and you just look through and you see. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them, "Follow, that followed." And I'll read something like that and I said, "Lord, I just don't know what I'm going to preach." Okay, let's go to a different one. We'll look over here. You know, or we may listen to messages from other preachers. I'll tell you point blank up front, this message today is from Henry Mahan. And I'll tell you another thing. If you ask Henry Mahan if he was here live today, he would tell you this message is from another preacher. One day there was a young man somewhere down in South America, United States, I think Alabama or something like that, preaching a message. And one of the people heard it and they ran back to Henry's church and they said, "Brother, what's his name's? He's stealing your messages. He preached the same message you preached a week ago. Exactly the same message." Henry said, "Oh, all right, well that's very nice, because you know that's the same message that Charles Spurgeon preached 100 years ago, or however long Charles Spurgeon's preaching." He says, "I got all of Charles. I got 20 books of his. You know how often I go in there and just read one of his messages and make it my own?" There's no new message. It's the same message that's been preached since the beginning of time. Christ must save his people. He must shed his blood. The remission of sins, there must be the shedding of blood. And it has to be Christ's blood for his people. It can't be anything you do. It's the same message. If you've never thought of yourself as a sinner, a true, hell-deserving sinner, you'll never call upon the one who saves sinners. We sing that song, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Do those words mean anything to you? I don't all the time, but I still cry when I sing that song. Because my Lord's grace is amazing to me. It's amazing to me that he would lay his life down for me, love a sinner such as I. It's amazing to me that not only would he come to me when I am dead in trespasses and sin, shaking my fist at him, saying, "I'll not have that one rule over me," and he yet took that cold, stony heart that said that, pulled it out, threw it away, discarded it, and gave me a new heart that says, "I love you because you first loved me." Our Lord said these words. He says, "It is not what you put in your mouth that defiles you." You know what that means? That means it's not outward things that can defile the heart, because the heart is already defiled. It's born that way. come into this world dead in trespasses and sin. Now I know a lot of preachers, they try to get folks to quit smoking, quit drinking, quit gambling. Folks, those things are just proof of sin. Sin is a nature. It's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. The sin is not in a bottle. It's in the man. It's in the woman. It's in us. Do you see your need of Christ? Here's the good news. Good news if you know you're a sinner. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news for sinners, is not good news to anyone else, though. It becomes a routine, maybe, a ritual, a formalism, a ceremony, a religion. But here's the good news for the guilty. Christ said these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to" who? To the rich and famous? To the righteous? No, He says, "I came not to save the righteous. I came to preach the gospel to the poor. He, the Father, hath sent me, the Son, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Christ came to reconcile sinners unto God. And I ask you this morning, are you a sinner? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at the person across the way from us. Look at yourself. You can't see what is in them anyway. They may be going to church and doing all the right things and just as nice as grandma herself, but that you can still not see their heart. Look at the heart within you. Our Lord says in the 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self." Am I in the faith? Do I believe who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Do I believe that He is God Almighty in the flesh? Do I believe that He came and perfectly shed His own blood, paying for all the sins of His people throughout all of time? Folks, when the last child is born and is saved, born again and saved from their sins, when they have been brought to an understanding to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, that's the end of time. That's the second coming of Christ. He doesn't have any reason for people to be walking the earth anymore. He's coming back to take all of His people to be with Him for eternity. Prove your own selves whether you are in the faith. Do you believe that Christ paid it all? All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Do you believe that Jesus sits on His throne right now, doing exactly what He's always done, ruling everything according to His own counsel? He doesn't need us, folks. We need Him. Am I a guilty sinner? If I am, and I know it in my heart, I'm saved by His grace. Grace for the guilty. Have you been made guilty? Turn in your hand.